Enter Cray Ray, fucking his brains out of the swing club while the celibate titter. We do our Penn & Teller show in the Penn & Teller Theater at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the United States of America. It's such a cushy gig. We do one show a night, so it's 90 minutes work, 5 days a week, plus half an hour to get dressed every night. Add the commute, and it's a 12-and-a-half-hour work week. Sweet. I'm 60 years old, so that's a good retirement work week. I fucked my cushy deal by loving every second of my job. I added an hour of live bebop jazz before the magic show. I play upright bass. I get in an hour before every show and join Mike Jones, our monster piano player, and we play pre-show bebop while people are getting their seats and examining the props on the stage. That's another hour added to every show. And then after the show, I'll pose for pictures, sign anything. When I'm lucky, I get to sign a breast or two. They often come in pairs. And talk about anything with anyone who was at the show and wants to talk to me. So that adds another hour. After that, I sit in our backstage monkey room and visit with any personal guest or dignitaries who are at the show that night. So my 90 minutes a night becomes a full ham and egger work week. There's no commercial pressure to change a show in Vegas. It's like the audience is touring. That's conventional wisdom in this convention town. The other Vegas entertainers perfect their show somewhere else, NYC, Montreal, or on the road, and then bring it to Vegas and coast until death. They play golf all day and then go into their well-written, well-rehearsed, killer shows every night to make some pocket change. Teller and I don't do that. We work constantly on new stuff, not just new bits for the live show, but movies, TV shows, books, radio shows, podcasts. We love to work. I've turned my cushy 12-and-a-half-hour-a-week job into a really cushy 70-hour-a-week job that makes me the luckiest person in the world. Except for the hypertension, being obese, and my doctor's promising to make my stomach into a sleeve. I was over a month into my sensible lifestyle change. I was down at least 18 pounds and feeling pretty smug as I ate my broccoli, spinach, and a big hunk of salmon in the monkey room after the show. I was doing everything right. I was being a smart, health-conscious grown-up. But always, in the back of my mind, I knew I had a doctor's note to go crazy. I was in a slow-mo emergency situation. I had some freedom in reserve. Wednesday, November 26th, the night before Thanksgiving, is the night our story really starts. I came backstage with my room service tray full of grown-up healthy salmon food. Jonesy, our piano player, was in a big comfy chair he'd commandeered. Teller was eating his after-show snack. My buddy Lana, who owns the Montessori school my children used to attend, and her husband and some children were on a couch. They had come in to see the new bit. They'd just seen us make a cow dressed as an elephant vanish, and they were eager to compliment. On the other couch was our friend Ray Cronice and his daughter, who was home on a break from college. I have a few friends whom I refer to with the honorific Crazy. There's Crazy James, a cocktail piano player in Frisco. Crazy James can do anything. He can cook, he owned restaurants, he's a great piano player, both cocktail and avant-garde. When I lived in Frisco, he'd knock on my door at 5 a.m. because he was wandering around the city and wanted to chat. I'd wake up and talk to Crazy James anytime. I love him. He once called a motorcycle gang to enforce a contract he had with an accountant to do his taxes. That's another story. That's Crazy James. There's Crazy Kramer, who's a musical genius. He kind of sort of invented music in the 90s. Half Japanese, Butthole Surfers, and Nirvana all smelled a bit of Kramer's spirit. He played bass with the Fugs and Gigi Allen. Crazy James and Crazy Kramer are two of my oldest friends, and I'd take a bullet for either of them. Ray Cronice isn't a traditional artist. I didn't know him nearly as well as the others who shared that first name. Ray is a scientist and an entrepreneur. Compared with James and Kramer, he doesn't look very crazy. Compared with Kramer, Charlie Manson doesn't look very crazy. Ray doesn't say stuff that's too weird. I don't know why I use that affectionate term for him. I don't have the right. I still don't even know him that well. And he never really earned it like the others did. But I wanted to call him something besides Ray. Crazy Raymond sounds stupid. I don't like Crazy Ray. Cronice doesn't do anything. But shorten crazy to cray, like my daughter says cray cray, use Ray, that drop of golden sun, for the second cray, and you've got cray ray. It rhymes. It rolls off the tongue. And soon Cray Ray would control most everything that rolled across my tongue. I didn't know him well enough then, but something about him made me think there was some depth and beauty and passion there. Tim Jennison introduced me to Cray Ray some years back. Tim had been my friend since the 80s. We made a movie in Texas about Tim's obsession with painting a Vermeer called Tim's Vermeer. I have no idea why Tim isn't Crazy Tim. I guess because Crazy Pen didn't happen to like the sound of that. Tim is a genius. Tim is the best of us. And Tim knows great people. I cultivated a relationship with Ray for very self-serving purposes. Tim hinted that Ray could get me weightless. Not in the diet sense, in the free fall sense. Ray worked at NASA and then struck out on his own to start a company that would make astronaut training in the Vomit Comet available to civilians. I've told the story about my being weightless a zillion times. If you've heard the story of me stripping naked and singing Barbarella while weightless, well, Cray Ray made that happen. There's something about Ray and weight. When I vomited in my hair during that flight, I also vomited on Cray Ray. If you've seen the video on YouTube of me naked and weightless and vomiting in my hair, Cray Ray shot that video while my vomit was running up and down his arm. We were weightless. One of the biggest adventures of my life started backstage that Wednesday night, and it's all because of Cray Ray. Cray Ray doesn't really know how to read a room. My friends wanted to talk about the Penn and Teller show they'd just seen, and have Penn and or Teller, preferably Teller, hold court and tell stories from the 6 years we spent working on making a cow dressed an elephant disappear. They wanted to hear stories of hauling Elsie's cow ass in a trailer across the Vegas Strip for her show every night. They wanted to feel showbiz. Ray was sitting next to his daughter on the couch with Teller. Cray Ray didn't feel the post-show mingle with the stars vibe. He had good stories of his own, and he was taking the floor. He was talking a blue streak. He was on a water fast, just water. Before that, he'd been eating only potatoes. As an experiment, he got rid of his diabetes with diet, and then got it back with diet, and then lost it again. He had a glucose monitor embedded in his skin. He had a backpack that he wore to measure his exact metabolism, and he wore while climbing 74 flights of stairs. Did we know that climbing those stairs took the amount of energy you'd get from just 2.75 Oreo cookies? I want to do for nutrition what Tim did for Vermeer. Nutrition is my painting. It's my art. His daughter, Alexia Ray, didn't say a word. She just sat and listened to her dad. She looked healthy. Cray Ray looked thin. A healthy thin, I guess, but thin. Do we know that if you gave yeast a low-calorie diet, it lived longer? A lot longer? Mice, too. Exercise is bullshit. Cray Ray underlined bullshit in his speech because he knew that was the name of our television show. He pushed himself to swear more than he normally does because he knows that offstage I swear a lot. Cray Ray explained that our lives are just one long meal interrupted by a little work and maybe a little fucking. Seasons matter. We keep storing fat for a winter that never comes. We live a perpetual summer, electric lights and warmth. We never get cold. We sleep in overly hot rooms and still use blankets. Cold showers can stop depression. We treat SAD with warmth and light, but cold and dark do better. Wear a cold vest. Eat only potatoes. Potatoes are just a fuck you to the paleo people. They have some stuff right, but they're wrong about so much more. You don't need animals to make fat for you. You can make your own. Cray Ray was on a roll. He didn't notice Jonesy rolling his eyes or Lana and her family looking over at me and waiting for a joke. Real scientists don't even try to read the room. Why should they? Information doesn't care what room it's in, so why should they? But the room was telling me I had to say something. The room wanted it. The ability to read the room is the character fault of entertainers. I wanted to listen to Cray Ray, but the room demanded I do some shtickle. In my best smarmy talk show host, fake-questioning asshole voice, I asked, just potatoes for 2 weeks? And Cray Ray was off again. Potatoes are white and considered bad, but people can live on potatoes for a long time. Do we know how much protein was in a potato? Speaking for the group, we don't. Now we're all making fun of goofy, skinny science boy. Even Cray Ray could sense we were rolling our eyes a bit. He wasn't completely blind to the room. He knew the stuff he was saying flew in the face of everything all the smart, non-crazy, and very fat grown-up people in the room knew. We were all unhealthy from our diets, rolling our eyes at the healthy guy. There's a swing club in Las Vegas called the Red Rooster. People go there and have sex. They fuck strangers, they fuck friends, they fuck their wives and husbands, they fuck in front of other people and in groups and sneak off into corners and private rooms. There's food there and sometimes a live band. A good-looking young pickpocket I knew in Vegas told a bunch of us how he had gone to the Red Rooster. He said some of the people weren't that attractive and that these assholes were just fucking each other everywhere, on couches and in corners, and there was fellatio and cunnilingus, and they were just flirting and then fucking right there in the room. These middle-aged losers were just fucking everyone in sight. The pickpocket was getting big laughs, rolling his eyes and making fun of the swingers, these people who weren't as attractive as he was, who were having sex with each other, while he and his girlfriend were just sitting there laughing. I had a question for him. So let me get this straight. These other people were meeting people, having sex and having a blast, and you were fully clothed and giggling and not fucking. And they were the losers? That's what was happening? It was the same thing with Cray Ray backstage. We all knew about nutrition. We knew that frequent meals, exercise, and lots of protein were the answer. Everything had to be done in moderation. You couldn't do fast weight loss like Cray Ray was doing. You couldn't fast or just eat potatoes. If you lose weight like that, you get sick and then put the weight right back on. It wasn't healthy. Yup. Cray Ray was fucking healthy, and we were fat and laughing at him.